Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Jeffrey Landrigan was executed at 22:26 hours. His final meal was a piece of steak. His last words were, "Well, I'd like to say thank you to my family and Boomer Sooner."
Her actions have indicated that she wants another bite at the apple.
I have already bet Virgil $100 that she will run in 2020.
I can't imagine her ego allowing her not to. Like, how is she going to allow that be her last gasp, getting owned by Donald fucking Trump?
The whole goal, I think, for audio and what we're doing and anything like that is to not be noticed. Yeah. Like, you don't, it's like a bass player. I say, like, you don't notice a bass player unless they're bad.
Right.
Like, so you don't notice the audio for a film or for anything unless it's bad.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast. Start here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. Supreme Court decisions shape everything from marriage and money to public safety and sex. Well, the problem is the rulings are often riddled with law speak that you'd need a dictionary to understand. Enter More Perfect, a Radiolad spinoff series that connects you to the decisions made in the court's hallowed halls. With the help of host Chad Abramad, you'll learn what different rulings have meant to you, the people, in the past, and what they'll continue to mean in the future. With in-depth historical research, firsthand accounts, and simple terms, More Perfect bypasses the technical wonkiness of the Supreme Court and brings you the stories behind some of the court's most monumental rulings. And with 3 seasons now available, it's time to get learning. Here's a New Year's sample of More Perfect from the episode titled Cruel and Unusual. The episode investigates those 3 little words nearly hidden in the 8th Amendment of the Constitution, cruel and unusual, and explores how they relate to America's longstanding debate over the harshest punishment imaginable, the death penalty. Here's the story.
Sodium thiopental is an anesthetic, and for a long time it was one of the most common anesthetics used in surgeries. But it's also one of the drugs used in lethal injection.
I don't think I knew the purpose of all the research that I was doing, but I was doing it very quickly. Because, of course, they had an execution that night.
Landrigan is running out of time and options.
And it was, I was in the UK, so it was the evening.
Which is morning Arizona time.
So we had just a number of hours.
She's, like, frantically searching through all these, like, global medical regulations. And, you know, she can't figure out exactly what the name of the company is.
Because there was no way to know at that point.
But ultimately, she does figure out that there are no UK companies authorized to ship this drug to the US.
There was effectively no FDA approved supplier of the stuff.
So whatever this mystery pharmacy was, it probably wasn't FDA approved.
And I remember, you know, I emailed that over. I think we either turned it into an affidavit from me or from Clive.
They write up a quick affidavit, they send it back to the States.
And the execution that night was stayed.
Like halted.
When I went to sleep, it had been stayed. And I just thought, okay, great. You know, we've got a bit of time.
And the next morning,
I woke up. I was couch surfing. I was in someone's, and I turned on World Service, and they announced that
Jeffrey Landrigan was executed at 22:26 hours.
Yeah.
His final meal was a piece of steak. His last words were, "Well, I'd like to say thank you to my family and Boomer Sooner."
It turned out, while Maya was asleep,
The state appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, and late yesterday, the justices, by a 5-4 vote, lifted the stay of execution, allowing Landrigan to be put to death last night.
The stay was put in place due to concern over lethal injection drugs. One of those drugs obtained from Britain was not FDA approved, but the U.S. Supreme Court did rule that there was no reason to believe that the drug wasn't safe. So, Jeffrey,
you know, talk about a rude awakening in the literal sense.
Now, that rude awakening would send Maya on a journey around the world. It would get her called out by the United States Supreme Court, and it would spark a global conversation about the American death penalty and about those little words, cruel and unusual, that are embedded in our Eighth Amendment.
The Honorable, the Chief Justice, and the Associate Justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yay. Persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of the United States, are admonished to draw near and give their attention. For the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
All right, back to Karen.
So we were in London with Maya, who just learned that Jeffrey Landrigan had been executed.
Mm-hmm.
But to understand what she does next, let me just give you a little bit of context. In the fall of 2010, when Jeffrey Landrigan was executed, the drug that they'd used,
the lethal drug sodium thiopental,
was suddenly in really short supply.
There was a nationwide shortage.
Because the only U.S. company that still made that drug was having like a manufacturing problem. So they had stopped manufacturing or producing this drug. So you actually see these emails between states like, dude, do you have any sodium thiopental?
California got help from right next door. Arizona agreed to lend California a cup of death.
And there's actually this one great email exchange between, like, the California Department of Corrections. They send Arizona this thank you email.
Writing, and I quote, "You guys in Arizona are lifesavers."
We'll buy you a beer next time I see you.
You're a lifesaver.
From More Perfect, a podcast from the Radiolab team. Learn more about 9 of the most powerful seats in the country with More Perfect, available for you on WVXU's Podcast Central. For a little more bite to your government and politics podcasts, check out this week's featured new addition to the Podcast Central library. It's called Chapo Trap House, and it's a humor politics podcast that doesn't pull any punches. Hosts Will Meniker, Amber Frost, Felix Biderman, Matt Chrisman, and Virgil Texas describe themselves as part of the, quote, dirtbag left, a style of left-wing politics that casts away civility for its own sake in exchange for subversive vulgarity. Think of them as the Glenn Becks of the left. Each episode, Chapo Trap House takes on the week's political events, giving their always hilarious, often controversial opinions on the current state of American political affairs and the circus of intellectuals and Twitter celebrities that have spawned in its wake. And it's no surprise they'll always have something to talk about. With weekly guests ranging from activists to journalists to comedians, Chapo Trap House provides not only comedy, but genuine discussion and criticism of the political discourse that's become so ostracizing in our country. Let's try out a sample of Chapo Trap House with a clip from Blood and Cheesecake. The episode covers the latest midterm elections, which had significant implications for the future of American politics. And in this clip, they talk about what the midterm results reveal about the presidential race in 2020.
If you were looking at this midterm election to be like that, that this is some kind of like strong headwind going into 2020, that like the Democrat, that the Trump is going to be a one-term president, or even, I'm sorry, that like this is evidence that a more hopeful future or a better future is on the way, I got to say, you got to be disappointed by this. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, you have all it's shown is that the electorate as it has existed in the last generation, you know, rural whites, all of them being Republican, minorities largely being Democrat, and then urban educated whites sort of being the cherry on the top of the Democratic demographic sundae. That's that's not going anywhere. And then you, and then the 50% of people who don't vote, and most of whom have an economic interest in socialism, not engaged. And that is just a recipe for, yeah, the same sort of turnismo that we've had for the last 20 years of basically whatever party is in charge when the economy inevitably collapses after a bubble bursts, gets owned for a few years, and then the other one takes over until another bubble bursts, and then they get owned. There's no real hope for that ending in sight.
Like in 2010, right? That the Tea Party midterm election, that was a big wave.
The Republicans got the House. They didn't get the Senate until 2014.
So Obama's 2010 midterm election.
Yeah.
That was a bigger wave than this one.
In terms of absolute numbers.
In terms of absolute numbers.
He lost like 60 seats.
And keep in mind, Obama cruised to reelection pretty easily against Mitt Romney.
Yeah, no, it wasn't 2012. That close.
Like, it was not that close. And by modern standards, it was not a close election.
Yeah.
Who's back? I was so excited to remember that Mitt Romney was coming back as a senator this time, just because it felt like, you know, a classic season 3 character being written back in season 8 or something.
Yeah, no, the writers are getting real lazy for this bullshit. But
beautiful
white
bread cut out in the shape of a man, Mitt Romney.
You know, like we said, it's 2020 season, starts the day after the midterm elections. And what am I seeing now? Again, don't know how seriously to take this, but we keep hearing rumblings that Chill Dog is coming back in 2020.
Yeah, Mark Penn.
Chill Dog is going to, the return, she's going to take another shot at this in 2020.
I mean, that's according to Mark Penn, who is a old-timey patent medicine salesman.
Yeah.
he just got done selling lightning rods to rubes at a county fair, and then wrote out a thing for the Wall Street Journal about how she's coming back. So take that with the entire fucking ocean of salt. But, I mean, her actions have indicated that she wants another bite at the apple.
I have already bet Virgil $100 that she will run in 2020.
I can't imagine her ego allowing her not to. Like, how is she going to allow that be her last gasp, getting owned by Donald fucking Trump? I mean, it's inconceivable that she would allow that to happen. And the thing is you can say, oh, she'd be an idiot to try. How would she doesn't she have any kind of basic awareness? No. She lives in an armed compound surrounded by a bunch of fucking yes men and grifters who want a giant slab of the huge fucking money pie that she's going to be able to easily get from all of the awful corrupt Democratic donors. So all of them are telling her she has a shot. They have no fucking incentive to tell her the truth. It really is. It's like the end of Downfall. They're not going to fucking tell her that their armies got destroyed on the fucking Vistula or whatever. They're going to want to be like, no, we can take Moscow. Just give me a few $100 million and I'll give you all the charts and graphs that show how you can win in Ohio. By the way, another thing we learned is that Ohio is just going to be a red state now. Ohio is trending away from even being a swing state anymore. That was one state that had no blue wave at all, except, of course, for Sherrod Brown.
Well, what do you make of Sherrod Brown, though?
Sherrod Brown, he is like one of those old-fashioned labor Dems. He's not like as far left as Bernie, and he endorsed Hillary during the primary, which I've heard actually kind of really hurt Bernie's feelings, because he kind of thought if anyone in the Senate was going to endorse him, it would have been Sherrod Brown, mm-hmm. but he didn't do it. So he's got that careerism in him to not have, you know, gone with mm-hmm. the obvious superior choice for workers. But his labor record is very good. And he talks, he's got this raspy voice, and he's got, you know, he dresses in these big grumpled suits, and he's got that sort of Bernie-esque presentation of earnestness and, you know, care for the working man that sort of overcomes the Democratic branding. So
do you think more people should be talking about him for 2020? As like a possible solution?
I honestly still think Bernie's the only choice. I really do. I think he's the only choice. I know he's a million years old. And I know that every fucking Democrat is going to have knives out for him. But I just can't. The closest thing to another alternative is Sherrod Brown. He hasn't really given indication that he's going to run.
From the podcast Chapo Trap House, a politics podcast for those tired of politics. Check it out now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Now, our local feature from the Cincinnati Art Museum comes Art Palace, a podcast about the amazing art that adorns the rooms and walls of the Cincinnati Art Museum. Each episode features a cool guest who joins the show to chat, talk about what art means to them, and discuss the art that surrounds them as they record inside the museum. Art Palace features guests of all kinds, from artists to musicians to teachers and more, to prove that everyone can appreciate and talk about art. You'll learn more about the interesting people around our city and the art that makes the Cincinnati Art Museum so great. After listening to Art Palace, it's just a matter of time before you're scheduling your next trip to the museum. Take a listen to a snippet from a recent episode of Art Palace featuring local sound engineer and podcaster Bart Vanderzee. You can check out his podcast, Drum History, right here on Podcast Central. Bart, in this show, talks about the intriguing world of audio engineering as well as life. It's an exhibit by artist Gillian Waring. In this clip, Bart walks you through some of the ins and outs of working with sound.
The whole goal, I think, for audio and what we're doing and anything like that is to not be noticed. Yeah. Like, you don't, it's like a bass player. I say, like, you don't notice a bass player unless they're right. bad.
Right. Like,
so you don't notice the audio for a film or for anything unless it's bad. That being said, if there's like great sound design and all this stuff, then you're like, wow, that's really cool. But you don't think about the dialogue of in a movie unless it's sounds like it's like, honky and like it's right. got this like horrible tone that's like there's like an air conditioner running. You don't think about it unless it's bad.
Yeah totally.
So
it's weird, like that's the other thing too. I don't know if you do this now, like probably on a much bigger scale, because since I think about audio a lot more, like this is nothing I ever really thought yeah. I would do, so I've never like had to put my mind in that place. But I remember I was eating in a restaurant in Paris, which now like this sounds like very like, oh my, like this is not the point of the story. This yeah. is not like a brag. Like
I'm impressed. But
I've been to Paris once in my life, so yeah. I'm not like trying to brag. Yeah. But like I was eating in a restaurant in Paris, and because the Parisians are so like quiet mm-hmm. at a table, like they're not like a big boisterous Americans. My first thought was like, wow, you could put a recorder on this table and like actually record a conversation.
You could.
Like, yeah. but it's like such a weird instinct to immediately yeah, exactly. think about, I could record this.
Yeah, there's low noise in here. yeah. No, and that's funny because here you think about it and you're like, wow, I can't record. And that's good that you're getting that thought of like, we're in a nice quiet room right now versus like, if you're somewhere else. I just recorded a podcast. It's called Brandemonium. It's a huge branding event and we did a podcast there. But sometimes it's kind of cool if you're doing a podcast or a recording at an event and you hear background chatter.
Yeah.
If you're far enough away from it that it's that the people, the subjects are louder than the background noise, then that's great. And it gives it some environmental sound versus it being sterile, too clean.
So I was just kind of curious how does a person get into becoming an audio engineer? It doesn't seem like a job that a person like dreams of as a kid, or did you?
I did.
Really?
Yeah. So I it starts, I think, a lot of people by being a musician. So I'm okay. a drummer, longtime drummer, and my podcast that I have is all about drums.
Okay.
But so as a kid, I always loved the idea of recording music. I found a little 4-track tape Yamaha at a garage sale,
mm-hmm.
$75, and then started recording little bands I was playing in, and then that evolved to the next piece of gear, and then computers became bigger. And then I recorded I love recording music and friends and stuff. And then I went to school and I was like, all right, I want to do audio recording and video. And then ended up doing way more video in school. You basically just have to put in a bunch of time. You have to intern somewhere. You kind of have to know people. And basically, I think the biggest part about being an audio engineer, you have to know your stuff. But I think a lot of people would agree that you have to be patient and hang out with people. And like, because you're recording for 6 hours and you haven't eaten in 9 hours.
Right.
People start to get frustrated. You got to be the happiest, most... let's do it. You got one more in you, man. Let's do it. Right. You got it. Yeah, some children do dream of being audio engineers.
Okay.
They're out there.
From the local podcast, Art Palace, and the Cincinnati Art Museum, check out the pieces and people of the Cincinnati art scene with Art Palace, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. As we wrap up 2018, time to step back and see which new podcasts deserve the crown for the best podcasts of the year. In our last episode, we counted down from number 10 to number 6. Today, in our first episode of 2019, we count down the top 5 podcasts of 2018 as ranked by Podtrac, the podcast rating firm. At number 5, Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. He attempts to discover human truths without any laboratory work, clinical trials, or data collection. In the great tradition of the 16th century scientists, an armchair expert. At number 4, Bagman from MSNBC. Is it possible for an American vice president to carry out a criminal enterprise inside the White House and have nobody remember? It's a story that's not well known, but it probably should be, especially today. Bagman, a Rachel Maddow podcast. And number 3, Happy Face from iHeartRadio. For Melissa Moore, 1995 was a nightmare. That's the year the teenager learned her father, Keith Hunter Jesperson, was a celery killer. That's the year the teenager learned her father, Keith Hunter Jesperson, was a serial killer. Join Melissa as she investigates her father's crimes, reckons with the past, and wades through her darkest fears as she hunts for a better future. At number 2, Gladiator, Aaron Hernandez and Football Inc. from Wondery. Football star Aaron Hernandez went from the bright lights of the Super Bowl to a convicted murderer in a few years. The Boston Globe spotlight team, best known for its investigation of the sexual abuse scandal inside the Catholic Church, takes a hard look at the crisis facing football through the lens of Aaron Hernandez's life and terrible crimes. And the number 1 new podcast for 2018 from Wondery, Dr. Death, the story about a charming surgeon, 33 patients, and a spineless system. Reported and hosted by Laura Bell. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.